And we're back. Ding!
And we're back. Wait, what happened with your cacao?
Well, I just put too much cashew milk, and so as I like mixed it and frothed it in one bowl, and then was gonna transfer it. I did transfer it over to this smaller, cute, like perfectly sized mug, but I have leftover, so now I have like a refill for when I drink this one, but it like kind of spilled a little bit. I also discovered today that I think my final verdict is that the best milk so far for cacao is cashew milk from Elmhurst.
I need to try this.
Dude, you need to try it. It's so fucking good. And here's the thing. I tried the walnut milk because someone was like, it's also super creamy and frothy. And I don't know if I got like a fucked up batch, but I tried cacao with walnut milk. It's not good. It doesn't froth the same. And the walnut flavor is way overpowering. Like,
I would feel like cashew milk would be super overpowering too.
It's not. Because cashew, it's like, I feel like when you make like cashew, like quote unquote cheese, or especially just in milk version, it's such a subtle flavor that it's nutty, but it complements it really well. It's for sure hands down my favorite milk to use. And also just because the texture, like, look at this.
I can't see it.
You can't really see it, but
oh, it's on. I didn't realize how filled it is. I can see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but my Malk almond milk also froths like that. Like, it's super frothy. Do you use a frother?
Yeah.
But it's not creamy, so that probably isn't.
That's what I'm saying. It froths, but it's also legitimately creamy. Like, it stays thick. Because I've used that Malk brand is usually what I use it, like what I've used in the past for matchas and whatever. But ever since I tried the cashew from Elmhurst, I'm not going back. Like, it's legitimately thick and creamy.
Wait, so I have a question. If you like don't have any issues with dairy or eating dairy, how come you just don't drink regular milk?
It's a taste thing. Like, when it comes to lattes and cacao and matcha and whatever, I just prefer the taste of nut milks with it, because I also find that sometimes cow milk is too overpowering for like the flavor I'm trying to achieve. But
too much cow.
Yeah.
Too much cow titty taste.
Too much what?
Cow titty.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I think the next thing to try is cow's milk with cacao. That might be good, because like that's like effectively how chocolate is made. I love dairy. Like, I'm a huge cheese fan. And like, I think regular milk is great. I just feel like I've gotten so used to the flavor profile of nut milks with beverages that's why I like it.
So it's a taste thing. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, welcome back in, guys.
Now welcome to our master class.
Our milk talk. Master class on milk.
Literally. I have so many things to say.
Okay. Where do we want to start with this? I saw on Instagram that I definitely want to bring up at some point of this recording.
Yeah. What's it about?
But it's definitely a little heavier. So
a little heavy. Okay,
start.
We can start light.
Yeah.
Well.
Oh, we made an LLC.
Yeah, dude. Guys, okay, this is insane. Yesterday, Nikki sent me screenshots of we like claimed our LLC name because we're making this. The podcast is a business, and we're like making it into a media company. So we're officially OM Media. I mean, we're in the process. It's like almost official. And just seeing that screenshot of like your limited liability company's name is OM Media LLC. I was like, it was a feeling in my body that I really do not normally get.
What did it feel like?
I just had this rush of, I just feel like I have been there. I don't know how to describe it. Like, when you see on paper that you like own a business and you're like working for yourself and you're doing like you every single day are working for an entity that you have created. It just made me feel so, I felt triumphant. I think that's the word. Mm-hmm. I felt like, let's go. Like, it's happening. Like, this is such an official step. And just, I'm coming up on the 2 year mark of when I left my 9 to 5 or left my, yeah, it was 9 to 5 in April 2022. So just to like have this be happening 2 years later and just to just be like remembering and looking back on the grind and the fucking journey that it's been, it's like a pretty surreal feeling.
It's so surreal. I mean, even the fact that like, I don't know if you wanted to talk, did we talk about already you leaving your other job?
No, we can talk about it.
I was going to say, it just feels like a big chapter is closing and a big chapter is opening.
Mm-hmm.
With you having your last day at your freelance job.
Yeah.
It's like page turned, chapter closed. We're in here. Next chapter, bitch.
Yeah. And here and it's we also go. Interesting off to the races. That it's felt almost like being in the void a little bit too. I feel like I've shared with you a little bit about this, but like our friend Jenny Edition has a concept that when you've been like taking action and shifting things and really heavy on the action taking towards a vision, that then you kind of end up in this void space where you're like, nothing's happening. And it feels like your connection to source is a little bit quiet and it literally just feels like you're floating in the in-between. So it feels like a void. And I feel like that's the energy I've been in this week is, I've felt good generally. Like I'm not freaking out about it. I'm just, it's like a peacefulness, but also a little bit of, okay, like the unknown. I'm in the unknown. Something is about to pop. Like something's about to happen in a good way. And I feel like that's what happens when you are pre big manifest moment, is you're a little like, what the fuck is going on? Like, why is everything so quiet? That's kind of how I feel right now. Especially with
it's almost like you jumping from that timeline to this one, when you're in between of a big step, going towards a big step, like a big change or leaving your job, when you're in that in-between area, you obviously have to almost like grieve that frequency and that timeline. Like today was your last day at that freelance job. You had to spend time in that like weird emptiness.
Yeah.
You couldn't just jump into the next timeline yet. Like you had to send your final emails. You had to wrap things up. But then once you're ready and that timeline is like completely gone, then you ground into the new energy and you get intentional with like, now what do I want to create?
Yeah. And people do not talk enough about the real feeling of leaving a job and like taking a shift, because it's so romanticized in some ways and like glamorized, which kind of understandably, because in every person's career highlight reel, literally like an actual Instagram reel, it'll be like, and I quit my job and then magic unfolded, and it's the highlight reel, so it's all condensed. So it makes it seem like you hand in your resignation and then like that same minute you manifest the client you've been calling in, and it like as if it's going to work in that exact way. Sometimes it does, but mostly it's like somewhat undramatic as you like send the email and like close the laptop on it for the last time, and you kind of just sit there and you're like,
what just happened?
What the fuck? Yeah, and that's the reality of it.
What did I do? No.
Yeah, but that's kind of like also what does fling you into the next level of like achievement, is being in that void, because then you really are facing yourself and you're having another iteration of, I just shed another, you know, misalignment or piece of identity that was no longer serving me, and it's just me now. Like,
mm-hmm.
Being like, what the fuck is gonna happen?
Yeah, so the do you feel any like fear or discomfort? Of course, but like
yes, but definitely so much less than 2 years ago when I left my job at Jubilee. That was like a whole different leap. That was like very dramatic in terms of just feeling, I had no fucking plan really, other than go in on my own shit. But I didn't have anything nearly what's established now of like, I had my podcast, but it wasn't really growing that much, or wasn't really, you know, it didn't feel significant. I was like I was really just laying down the roots of what my business is today then. So yes, I have some fear of the unknown, but I feel like I'm just so much more equipped at this point. Like nervous system wise, I'm just like quite settled in myself. And then I don't know what it is. It almost feels like it should, I feel like someone would be like, it's irresponsible to not feel any fear.
No, you know what I mean? This is reminding me. I need to grab my journal because I just wrote something down. One second. And literally I have it open to this page because I was going to make an Instagram post on this. When your mission and your purpose becomes bigger than any fear or limitation, that is when you know you have landed in the right timeline. When you literally feel in your bones like this is where I'm meant to be, and the fears become so much smaller in comparison to that passion, that's when you know you're in the right place.
Yeah.
Like the fear is there, but it's almost like a passing image in like a mirror, like a car mirror.
Or you're just observing it more than you're living it.
Yes. You see it, you like can feel it here and there. But I think when you're so connected to your heart and in alignment with your path, that energy is so much more powerful and it will just keep you fucking going.
Yeah.
I was even listening to a podcast today with the founder of Ritual, the supplement brand. It was a Melissa Wood podcast, and she was talking about how she actually came up with the idea of that business when she was pregnant, 4 months pregnant. And the first supplement she made was a prenatal supplement. And she was saying that prior to starting that career venture, she felt so not capable and unworthy, and she couldn't have ever imagined doing something that big. But then as soon as she felt in her heart what her mission and her purpose was, she was like unstoppable. And she said that she became almost like this limitless version of her. And this isn't to say that you won't have fears and limitations that want to be dissolved and shifted, and the inner work is definitely still important. But I think you get to a point where you have like a sense of, okay, like this needs to happen. Like a fear comes up and you're like, let's fucking dissolve this. Let's get to the bottom of it because we got shit to do.
Yes, totally. Yeah, that's a really good way to describe it. I feel like I was telling you the story of kind of like the last straw when I knew I really needed to leave this freelance job that I was in. Overall, it was a really great role. Like it was working for someone that I really admire, and still now I feel like really lucky to consider him a friend after this. But the job itself, just, I was telling Nikki how I showed up to this Zoom call with another person on the team. And I was just like looking at myself in the Zoom window, and it was almost like I was like, who is this person, looking to myself? Cause I just knew that I was showing up as like almost this archaic version of myself that doesn't exist anymore, but I was having to like keep alive. And that's kind of like that feeling of when you know it's misaligned, is you almost don't recognize yourself, and it's a little bit shocking because especially if you have other areas where, even if they're minimal, but in my case they're massive in terms of where I am aligned, right? Like in this podcast and like the work I do as a mentor and a creative and all the other things, I know what my like highest expression can be, at least in this season. So to like sit on a call and like literally look yourself in the mirror, quote unquote, but in the Zoom room, and be like,
yeah,
who the fuck is this person? And it just made me realize of like, it's almost funny because it was like the woman that I was meeting with, I'm just thinking, I'm like, she's like witnessing me in this version that it doesn't actually bother me because I know it's not, you know, it doesn't actually signify who I am, but it's funny in a way to be like, this person is seeing me in a way that is just, it's so foreign to my highest expression. And I feel like it was such a powerful call to cement and be like, okay, we have outgrown this. We're done. Like, I know what I'm capable of. And that was like a confidence check of like, yes, like I know fully how I can show up. And that just made me realize the final nail in the coffin of like, we need to go. Because like, if you are showing up and clearly seeing that this is just not the version of you that you know you can be, and it's not the case of like, oh, but push through it, whatever, then you're like, yeah, that gives you the agency to be like, I'm out. I have bigger and better things to do that are more aligned for me. And it has something to do with like the team or the people or the role. Like it just doesn't fit you anymore.
Right. So powerful. And now you have that almost like data and plan in your head of, if you ever feel like that again, you know exactly what to do. You know exactly what it feels like.
Right.
It, what you're describing, I can remember. It's like that out-of-body experience. Yeah. And seeing yourself on the Zoom call, like, how fucking confronting. I feel like I'm having flashbacks to me being in meeting rooms, having to give reports. Mm. And it was just the most traumatizing thing ever. This is when I had a really big fear of public speaking, and I would, like, literally have panic attacks at work. And there was one time that I was, like, crying to my boss, telling him that I couldn't give the weekly report. Literally, it was over the phone. We would go into an office and talk to the client over the phone, and I couldn't do it. It was just so constrictive, like, so constrictive in my body. And I, mind you, had a very dysregulated nervous system and was feeling very anxious, and it just, like, was not the right place. I feel like I would look around and feel like I was literally on a different planet. I'm like, yeah. What the fuck am I doing here?
Yeah, dude, that's, yeah, you just know. Like, I almost think in those moments too, your highest self or your soul is almost like percolating around and is like, yo, what the fuck are you doing down there? Like, this is not it. And then you're like, I don't know how to get out. Like, I'm in this jail cell. And your higher self is like, dude, like, almost like laughing at you in a loving way of like, LOL, like, the reason you're feeling this out of body, it's almost like literally you're out of body because your soul is like in a fucking different room waiting for you to meet up with it. Yeah. And your physical body is like in the wrong timeline. So you're like fucking malfunctioning.
And then you get into the right timeline and your higher self's like, let's go, bitch.
Yeah. And go then you time. Like line up, and then that's why you feel so good.
Yeah. Can I read this Instagram that I saw?
Yeah.
Actually, I want to talk about this other Instagram I saw, keeping it light still. Mm. If you click on the second link that I posted, this guy is coming up with a plan to create alcohol-free hospitality, or what was it?
Wait, yeah. My mom sent me this, I think.
Alcohol-free wellness hotel and members club.
Yes, okay, so my I'm mom assuming sent it's me kind this. Of like you both a...
Oh my God, why am I blanking on the name of those LA? Oh, Soho House. It's kind of like a Soho House vibe, but with no alcohol. Oh, and this video is so cool. We'll post it in the show notes. I saw this, and this guy, I think he's in kind of the initial stages of planning this, and he's probably getting investors or something. But this whole video is kind of showcasing how people are over having these like social plans that are just circulating around alcohol. Like when you sign up for, let's say, like Soho House or something, of course they have like the sound baths and the meditations and stuff, but really on the forefront is alcohol. And to be able to go to a hotel or to be a member of a members club where the entire thing is circulating around like community outside of alcohol.
Yeah.
I just saw that. I'm like, that's so fucking cool. Sign me up. Where do I put my name?
Yeah, truly. Well, it's also just cool because then the like hotel, the space, the hosts and everything are with the intention of making it not alcohol focused, which it's like, Even if you're going to a resort and they have like the spas and whatever, because someone hasn't thought about how do you make this even more intentional, and for people who don't want to drink, it still is like not the same level of like, this is such a cool idea because they're fully rooted in understanding also the culture of sobriety and like replacing it with intentional activities and still wanting to like socialize and dance and have fun and whatever, but like making it revolve around the energy of that, not just the energy of drinking.
And doesn't it just solidify everything that we've been talking about with the veil thinning? People are really waking up to the point where now, like, this guy wants to make this a mainstream hospitality group, kind of like Soho House is. Yeah. Not like an underground or just spiritual people know about it. It's going to be kind of like in the mainstream. And it's so interesting to think about just the new waves of entertainment and hospitality that are coming to this new timeline. And it's really fucking exciting to look at the way that the world is shifting. I know that's just even a tiny example, but it's interesting to think about if you were to go back a year ago and be like, oh, 2024 is going to be so different. There's going to be this big shift. We'd be like, oh, okay. There's going to be like this one big event that happens. But if you really feel into like the subtleties of the shifts that are happening, it's in these little things that you see.
Yeah.
Where you realize when you zoom out, holy crap, there actually is a really big shift happening. But when you see that video, you're just like, oh, cool. But like, no.
Right.
This is really showcasing something bigger that we get to celebrate and be excited for. Yeah, I thought it was really cool.
That's dope. I love that. I mean, I feel like there's been some crazy stats about either it's like the increase in non-alcoholic like beverage companies, or they even have shown the decrease in alcohol consumption. I wonder if it's actually like, if there's been a significant shift in the sales of alcohol or not. Because sometimes it's like, while one increases, it doesn't necessarily make the other one go down. But it's, I mean, there's no doubt that the sober curious movement is a thing.
Wait. I think alcohol is still so big that those numbers wouldn't really cause a dent yet.
It would be, right, yeah. Actually, it's funny. Speaking of alcohol, I have for the first time in like, it's been, my like sober streak now has been a year and 4 months or something. And I just recently have had like a curiosity around having like one crazy night. And like,
I love it.
Just being like, maybe I will just have like a couple glasses. It would take like two glasses of wine and I'd be like, wow. And it's kind of interesting to me though, because at this point my ego is like, nah, keep the streak going. Like, it's fun to like be able to, you know, have a consecutive number of months and, you know, years under your belt. But then now part of me, this is why I'm a little bit confused, honestly. It's kind of interesting to talk about. It's because I know that like in the end, let's say I did this weekend decide to have two glasses of wine, and it would be like, you know, it'd be whatever. It'd be super intentional because I'd be like, I just want to, you know, try this again for fun. The next day, for sure, I'm not going to feel well physically, because that's what happens every time. So then I'm going to be like, why did I do that? So I think the question is like, even though I know that there's a cost associated to it, now I'm very curious about what's happening, you know, in the mind of soul versus ego, in terms of, I think it's basically, I'm at a point where I would just have to, you just decide what it means. Like, I would basically be like, yeah, I'm hungover and I don't feel good, but I like consciously wanted to try this out again, so it's fine. And now we're going to start our streak over at day one.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much the journey. It's like an ebb and flow of picking up data. And then you learn more about yourself throughout those little experiments.
Yeah.
And I think this is like the 3-5 thing with human design. Like, I can definitely tell you all about trying things and learning and picking up wisdom. The hardest part is removing the shame out of experimenting with something that would be like deemed as bad.
Right.
Or like you gave up on the streak, that could be deemed as bad. All these things are kind of just like illusions. And
yeah,
you really can do whatever it is you're feeling called towards. And sometimes you're intuitively called towards an experiment or to try something out for your highest good.
Yes.
And there is like a short-term moment of feeling, let's say like hungover, that actually benefits you because you're learning so much data and you're getting so much data and learning so much wisdom in that moment, that for the long term, you're able to like embody more of what you have learned and the wisdom that you gained. Does that make sense?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, the thing is that I know conceptually already what's going to happen. Like, I already, like, it's almost like, I don't know. That's why it's interesting, because it's not that I could perfectly predict the night, is not what I'm saying, but I'm saying that, like, I know how it would go, in the sense of, I'd be like, yeah, I'm gonna have some wine tonight. And my mom would be like, oh my God, that's like so funny, fun, haha, okay. Like, you know, it'll be all cute that I'm like tipsy. And then the next day, I'm gonna be like, yeah, this is why I don't drink. I, you know, don't feel great. And also, potentially, this is why the part of me that likes to be in control doesn't like to drink, because then I don't like feeling sloppy in social scenarios, which is kind of like its own thing to release control of. And then I would go back to being like, yeah, this is why I don't like it, and I knew this, like, I already know it. But I'm almost like, well, I'm in the 3D, and it'd be kind of funny to like have a drink again and feel a little tipsy and explore that feeling again, because it's just been so long. But then I'm also like, why, you know, like, you don't actually like,
I would say trust whatever you're feeling called to do, because you'll always just find your way back home to yourself, no matter what it looks like. Like, if you just keep pushing a desire that you have, then right. won't it eventually just come up in some way that, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, totally.
I feel like with my personal journey with alcohol, I've always had these seasons. And maybe the season will be longer. Like right now, I'm in a season of not drinking. I was in a season of drinking here and there. We went to Miami for Peter's birthday. I drank. Like, I was having a few drinks here and there when we moved to Arizona, because we were going to these like little hole in the wall bars. I would get a beer. But now I'm in a season of not drinking. And I feel like if you just see your life in that way of experimentation and seasons and ebbing and flowing, it's not so much about like the streak.
Yeah.
And it's more about tuning into like what you're actually feeling open to, you know?
Totally. Yeah. And in the end, I think that's like, I think part of my journey is also being more of an embodiment of that things don't have to be in such a dogmatic or extreme way in order for it to, I don't know, like whatever it is, just even like being multidimensional and like being highly spiritual, but also giving yourself a break and just like following your desires, because that ultimately is the most spiritual thing you can do. So mm-hmm. yeah, I'm just kind of exploring that desire again, because in my mind, it's very like funny. I'm very like, this would just be like a funny, fun thing. Just like, yeah,
there's a lightness to it, you know, as soon as it's so heavy and there's like a lot of shame,
right?
Even that, like, open yourself up to whatever comes with that. It's not wrong to be feeling shame. It's not wrong to be feeling shitty the next day. Like, just allow whatever experience is there, because it's all going to teach you something. It's not even just like, do I want to drink or not? It's
right.
like this entire experience of every emotion that arises is there to show you and teach you more about yourself.
Yeah. And now what I'm also thinking about too is like, this is, it's so much about my experience and not anyone else's, in terms of like, sometimes in like the sober curious conversation, people who, there's like obviously the considerations of alcoholism and where if somebody has just one drink, like they can't stop. And that's like a whole thing where I'm, in my personal experience, I'm able to be playful with it because that's just my experience, right? But that's the whole point too of where I think people will even like shame themselves into continuing a streak out of, you know, they generally feel better not drinking, but this has happened to, you know, Olivia Noseda on Instagram. She makes the best mocktails ever. She has like a food page / it's like mainly mocktails, and she's like a huge voice in the sober curious community, but it's sober curious. It's not like complete sobriety, but she's sometimes had people on her page where like one time, like a month ago, she posted an actual cocktail recipe because she just wanted to like try one out, cause she appreciates gastronomy, the word for when you like enjoy the mixing of flavors, whatever. She enjoys like just the actual combining of flavors and like the appreciation of the artistry.
Mixology,
yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Yeah, no, but
I'm
there's
like,
also
gastro.
No, but there's also a word that's like not gastro. Like there's gastro with the words of when you have like a bowel issue, but then there's the gastro of like restaurants and cooking.
Okay. I don't know that word, but I believe you.
Anyway, it's like she posted a cocktail, and so people were like getting pissed at her in the comments because they were like, you know, maybe people who have more of a, they can't be so flexible with their relationship with alcohol, which maybe is like a whole thing in and of itself to explore. Long story short, she was then just speaking to and advocating for her, for how in her experience, like, it has been really positive to have this like 99% sober life, but then to be removing the shame and like allowing herself to be playful. And that like, if you can't, like for me, the fact that I'm able to be like, it's just like a fun one night thing, that's my experience. But someone could easily be like, well, that's so insensitive to people who are, you know, struggle with like addiction, and it's not funny that they can just like have one night off, right? And so that's where it's like about my experience and not letting the narratives around to drink or not to drink, to be sober or not, affect my decision of it and to purely follow my desire, because it's going to be coming from my highest good, especially because I'm, you know, coming to it with such consciousness.
I feel like with any conversation with alcohol, if someone starts talking about alcohol and it does not resonate with you, it's okay. Like, yeah, there is like so much nuance with, I know, but with, I feel like any sort of alcohol, I was going to say with any sort of drug. I don't know if I'm going to refer to alcohol as a drug. With any sort of, with alcohol especially, when someone's talking about it and it just doesn't resonate with you, next, move on. Every single person is so freaking different. You can't force someone to see alcohol through the same lens you see it. And every single person reacts differently to alcohol. Every single person has a different experience after drinking alcohol. Every single person is also taking on life in a different way with caring for their energetic being. So like, every single person is going to have a different experience.
Yeah.
There are people that have history of alcoholism in their family. There are people that have trauma that are related to alcohol. Like, it is so nuanced.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's also what ultimately I've enjoyed about my own journey is finally, because I used to definitely be in more of the judgment zone of like that holier than thou complex of when you don't drink and then thinking anybody that does is like, you know, XYZ. And then getting to a point where being like, no, you should just like do what works for you. And when people ask me about, you know, my sobriety, and then people kind of naturally will talk about like their drinking habits if they're a little more thoughtful about it. And I'm always like literally do whatever you works for you. Like it doesn't, you know, just because it's vibing for me, like there's total respect for whatever you are doing and whatever part of the journey you're on. And I think that that's ultimately like the most helpful thing. And when I think about how I approach life sometimes as an experiment, as like a spiritual teacher, is that's where I like want to give myself the permission to try different things out and like dip my toes into different, you know, elements of life so that then I can pull more wisdom from it, which is something that you know so well being a 3-5. So when I, for me, that's like when it's more, I tend to like live in the conceptual and like understand it. So then sometimes I'm like, let's just like be a little 3 for a second and like try it out and then come back.
And when we say 3, we're referring to the human design profile number 3.
I
love this conversation because it's reminding me of like, I'm having this visual come through of when you're on this path, especially I feel like us being still in our 20s, we're like experimenting with things and trying things out and figuring out what works for us long term. Peter always says this, that like, it's like a pendulum that you'll swing from one side to the other until you find your middle ground. And I am such a fucking pendulum when it comes to big decisions like that of if I'm going to drink, like if I'm going to do this, the way that I approach like my routines. And I'm still on that journey of finding my middle. And I believe that you kind of swing from one side of the pendulum to the other until you find your middle. And that's when it becomes just like your way of being and you don't even talk or think about it anymore. Right. And you can think of it as like fucking brushing your teeth. Like when you're in the middle with any sort of decision, it just becomes a habit, like brushing your teeth or just a behavior or a way of being. So with alcohol, I feel like you and I, especially just being curious about what life without alcohol looks like versus what it looks like with it, are just on this journey of constantly going back and forth with the pendulum. And when you get the pull to go to the other side, definitely listen to it, because then that helps you find the middle. If you're just always over here, like pushing yourself up on this side, like where is that gonna bring you, you know?
Because actually then the other thing that I was thinking of, I was kind of getting curious about this desire, and then I was asking myself, like, maybe this is because, you know, the typical association with having like a drink is that then it would lead to like a more fun, like loosey-goosey night. So I was like, okay, maybe that's what I'm actually craving. You know, the root like desire is actually to like let loose and like have like a crazy fun night, you know, just like let loose, whatever. So then I was like, okay, maybe I can explore that and to say, what would the first step look like to see how I can facilitate me letting loose on my own through my own means without alcohol first. And I think that's actually something that I was going to think about, is almost like approaching a night this weekend, for example, and almost I don't know if this sounds fucking crazy, but like pretending that I'm like gonna drink, but not actually, but like embodying the energy of like, you know, people have a couple of drinks and they start to let loose and they're a little more silly and whatever. And I'm like, that's something that I can access on my own, which is something I've, you know, done time and time again as being sober. But I'm like, maybe I'm just craving a little bit of that in my life, of just a little more fun, a little more edgy, a little more like hee hee kind of vibe.
Maybe so, this is like what I'm feeling from this, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe you're at a point where you're wanting to go even deeper into that kind of energy. Like you've accessed almost like a ceiling with being in that vibe and in that mood when you're around people and in social settings, and your heart is calling you into like deeper levels of authenticity and letting loose.
Yes.
And you're associating that with alcohol.
Yes.
But it may actually just be a soul desire that like, hey, let's go deeper on this journey. And maybe it would be the alcohol that would show you that there actually is more depth to letting loose and being more like loosey-goosey, as you say.
Right.
But yeah, I would be curious, like, if you took the mentality of like, my soul's pulling me on this journey of becoming more loosey-goosey and let loose and fun vibe.
Yeah.
How could I do this without the alcohol? And if it kind of brings you to a point where you're like, yes, that was it. Or if it's like, no, I actually just wanted to fucking drink and experiment with that. You could like see those two routes.
Totally. Yeah. I think that's exactly where I'm at, is I was going a little deeper. And I think that is part of the desire, is to deepen or up level that sense of like being uninhibited and being free to express myself and to like be fun and silly. Cause that's just part of who I am. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, we're just like in the depths of day-to-day life and we get a little bit more like rigid and whatever. So I think that that's definitely the first thing I'm going to explore, is like, how can I let my soul like really express itself, really be free, like let loose, fucking go out and dance, but like try a sober night. And then if that desire to drink is still there, like, okay, then sure. Like, let's go explore that.
It sounds like you're wanting to call in more like feminine energy.
Yeah, I think so. Because
maybe with everything we've been doing with the podcast and just being in that go, go, go mode, we've been so in the masculine and in the structure that like your soul is craving just that let loose feminine energy.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of like what you're describing with like the freaking loosey goosey. It's almost like a feminine energy that feels safe to express itself. And
yeah, it's just like fun and flirty and dancing. Yeah,
and like flowy. And
you're just like, I think I just need a night like that, honestly. Like, whatever it is, I just want to. I mean, yeah, authenticity is such a like interesting rabbit hole to explore, because, you know, ultimately it's like there's just levels to it of how truly uninhibited and how aligned you are with letting yourself be free to totally be yourself. So that's definitely an area that I simultaneously, like, even unrelated to the alcohol desire. I mean, I think they're related, but that's the other thing that I've been curious about, is like, how can I be even more free with myself? How can I be even more unhinged?
I love it. It does kind of come down to understanding the feminine and masculine energies and that feeling of safety to be like that comes from having your own masculine energy in place. And then also, like, if you're with a partner and having that masculine energy in place, it's like you feel free to just let your feminine energy loose.
Yeah.
And I'd be curious actually to learn more about the balance of masculine and feminine energy within our own beings, because I feel like this is something that I've been playing around with, and it does feel really good when you have like a masculine structure in place to let loose and tap into that feminine energy. So maybe this can actually be a podcast episode that we do, and we could do some research into it.
Yeah, I'll go ham and go crazy one night, and then I'll report back.
Yeah, you have to.
So here's what I learned on my crazy night out.
I'm looking at our list. I just see horny.
Wait, it's not on my list. It's just, it just says, yeah, just horny. Yeah, you know, just.
Oh, I want to talk about, okay, so the other day I was talking to one of my good friends from home. We were texting, and we've been best friends for like many years, since elementary school. And we've always had this thing where we love texting each other like updates on like things that we're trying out and things that we're like learning on our journey. And oh, I tried out like this workout or I did this. And we just love sending each other like fucking long ass voice notes to each other where we go back and forth and just share excess of information with each other. And I found out she has the same fucking human design profile as me. And it just made so much sense. She's a 3-5 generator. And then also she has very similar gifts to me. And I've never seen such a similar profile. I don't know if you've ever found someone that has like an identical human design profile to you. It's not identical. Our life theme is different. But I was telling her, I was voice noting her. I'm like, this makes so much sense. Yeah. She doesn't really know that much about human design, but I was telling her about 3-5s and how they're the great life experimenters and how they're the ones that are always going to be testing things out and picking up wisdom and sharing it with others to help others. And I was like, this makes so much sense why we have always loved going back and forth with like sharing random insights with each other that if we were talking to anyone else, they'd be like, can you just shut the fuck up?
Yeah, that's so nice because you guys, you like understand each other on like a very deep level down to like the nitty gritties of how you basically operate as a person.
We're both Pisces too. So I'm curious if that aligns with why our human design chart is so similar.
Yeah, I've been curious about that too. Like I don't know for sure, but I have found that there seems to be somewhat of like a, I don't know what the right word is, like a correlation or like a almost like a distribution of the energy types according to zodiac signs, but it's not purely like that because it's not like every Capricorn is a generator or like every pipe, right? But
right.
I feel like I've somewhat noticed just from like the limited pool of people's designs that I know that it somewhat is aligned in that, like, I feel like, you know, maybe in Capricorns there tend to be a lot of generators, but I don't think it's exclusively like that.
Right. Like, I would be curious to look at the correlation between water in your chart versus like your emotional authority versus right. like splenic authority. And if that has something to do with it.
That's probably related, I'm guessing, because it does, like, there's, like, an alternative way to look at a human design chart is called, you look at, like, the mandala, and it has around it, like, all of the planetary placements, and then it kind of, like, connects with certain gifts and, like, where the planets were when you were born, and I think that maybe speaks to, I feel like it probably has something to do with it, because there is so much similarity between, I mean, it's the same shit, right? You're one person. You're just describing yourself through different, you know, elements. But
right.
I would be curious also to know if, like, for example, with the Pisces thing and being an emotional authority, if that's like any, if that's related at all, knowing that Pisces is the water sign and they're like the deep feelers and all that.
We also have a very similar big three. I'm pretty sure she has Aries in there somewhere. But then Virgo, and I have Cancer. So yeah, I just wanted to say that. I thought it was so interesting because I didn't think it was that common to find someone with like an identical, like down to the gifts being very similar.
Yeah.
And just the order of the gifts in our big four are different. So obviously that makes a different life theme.
Were you guys born in a this is a childhood friend you were saying?
Or yeah.
No? So was she also born in...
Not in the same exact area, but like, within, I would say, 20 minutes driving distance.
And, like, what's her exact birthday and time in relation to yours?
Oh, they're, like, 6 days apart.
Same year?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, that's why it's, like, if you imagine, you think about, like, all the babies that were born on the same day at the hospital. I mean, it's not always that common because some birthdays are more rare in terms of their, like, how many people are born on that same day and then obviously in the same exact city, but obviously, like, safe to say there's probably like at least a handful, if not so much more, depending on certain days of the year that babies are born at the same time. But I just think of it as, like, honestly, it's cool when you meet someone like that, because then even though your interests and your lives could be so different, you're effectively operating with the same very similar mechanisms. And that's where it makes a lot of sense. It's like me and Milan's sister have the same life theme, like the same exact number in order. And so then it's cool to talk to her because you just relate in terms of the feeling and the experience associated with it. But then it's like thinking about if you have the same model car, they could drive themselves to completely different locations at the end of the day, even though they started with the same mechanics.
Right. And also I feel like the big thing with human design is that there's so many ways to express, like, just because you're a generator doesn't mean you'll have the same exact
right
life path as someone. It just means you're expressing your energy in an ideal way that can look seamless across many different ways of living.
Right. And that's like kind of the beautiful like mystery of how we all have our different interests and like our souls are drawn to different aspects. Like, you know, you can literally have the same blueprint, but then your soul and like your past lives or whatever are different, and like you're drawn to dance and another person is drawn to mathematics, and it's like how do you explain that? You don't. You just follow it, and that's what makes it divine.
Yeah. Should I read this thing now?
Yeah, are we going emo now?
I mean, it's not that emo. It's about like the split, the timeline split.
Oh, okay. Yeah, send it.
It's long though.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. The choices you make now will affect the rest of your life and the evolution of your soul. There's a split in Earth's timelines that have been prophesized for ages. We are living through this now, and the gap between the two different timelines is becoming wider each day. We all have free will in this life, and we are given the same capacity to make the choice of which timeline we will continue on. It's very obvious now that there are two completely different realities occurring simultaneously. Every day it becomes more apparent who is living on what timeline. We are getting close to final stages of the split, where the gap will become so large and obvious that the other timeline won't even be within your field of conscious awareness. If you choose to make the jump now, the opportunity will be there as soon as you decide you want to evolve. It will become more challenging to jump timelines as we move forward, though. Love or fear, which timeline will you choose? This is the equivalent of what pill will you take, red or blue? Take the blue pill and you choose to replay your karma and live in fear, chaos, and suffering. Take the red pill and you will jump timelines, create your desired life, and live in love, authenticity, and abundance. Okay, I want to pause there.
Tell me what you think.
Okay, like, disclaimer, I understand that there's like an undertone of fear in this post itself, but I think it's has good intentions. And the information definitely felt, I was intrigued reading it, but it was a moment for me to be like, okay, let me really check in with my body and then see how this feels. So I'm curious, before we continue, how is this feeling for you?
I mean, I definitely can see the, I wouldn't necessarily, maybe it's not an undertone of fear, but an undertone of urgency. Because of how important it is to be a conscious participant in your fate, I guess, or like where your life is going. I don't know if it's fate is the right word, but I guess what I'm curious is it saying that like on Earth, there's like as a collective, there's two timelines forming, or as a person individually, you are being called to choose which timeline you go into?
Both.
Right. And then this is like the idea that certain people, quote unquote, fall out of your life when you align to a higher frequency or align your life, whatever. And so then it's almost like they're not in your reality anymore. And then it's like, it gets trippy because then I just wonder, like, are we living in the same? Well, this is where then, fuck, this is where my brain is breaking. It's like, okay, we're living on Earth, quote unquote, but we're also living in our own realities that we consciously co-create every minute of the day. And as you choose a different timeline, like, you create that. But then it's like your neighbor is like lives in 3D close proximity to you, but technically lives in a completely different reality.
Yeah, but there's still some thing that connects you guys.
Right, which is that, what is that?
Like, there's still some part of your programming or your subconscious that is projecting the same reality outwards as that person in, like, maybe even small ways of just, like, seeing them in the distance. Not, like, actually communicating and interacting with them. I kind of feel like it's not so black and white where there's going to be two timelines. I feel like you can still be in the in-between of doing the work and being conscious and still learning lessons and dissolving karma. And it's not like you're in this timeline or that timeline. I think that is a good way of explaining it so people can choose which path they want to journey down.
Mm-hmm.
But I do kind of agree with the red pill, blue pill sentiment of love versus fear. It connects to us reading A Course in Miracles. It's like literally what the entire book is about. And yeah, it's just interesting to think about the ways that you can choose love more in your daily reality. And it really doesn't have anything to do with, I don't know, sometimes we can get so wrapped up in like, oh, it's about like doing everything perfectly and healing and doing all this work and da 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 da. When really it just comes down to the simple choice of love versus fear.
Yeah.
And leaning into that higher frequency of love whenever you consciously can. And expanding that outwards and having that touch other people so that leads to a ripple effect of healing.
Mm-hmm. Is there more to the post?
Yeah. Okay, so it says, I don't know, it gets a little, yeah, the urgency I definitely can feel.
It's like, choose your fucking timeline now.
What?
Sorry.
Nothing good. Don't allow anyone to lure you back into lower timelines that have already expired. People that don't have the courage to move into the higher timelines are triggered when you do. Have the courage to ignore their efforts to pull you back down and keep moving forward with yourself. We cannot save anyone else at this point. Don't sell your soul and martyr yourself for the sake of someone else. Every single person has the opportunity to shift their consciousness. Anyone still living in the lower timeline of fear and suffering has chosen to be there. This is going to be the most challenging part of making the choice to move to the higher timelines. Not everyone in your life wants to evolve in this lifetime. Not everyone will come with you. This is a choice that everyone gets to make for themselves individually. Some people are too caught up in their karma and haven't yet done the inner work to integrate their ego so they would rather choose to stay in suffering because it's familiar. We all have a choice. Sometimes we have to leave people in the reality they have chosen so we can move into a better reality for ourselves. You are going to need your energy to be grounded and present with what is coming. We are moving into a quickening space, which means events that are coming will happen fast and almost simultaneously. These events will not affect those on the higher timelines as much as they will those still in the lower timeline. This is because the old paradigms and systems we have been living in are collapsing. If you choose to stay attached to the old timeline, you will play out the chaos and suffering as the timeline fully collapse around you. Anything that is draining your energy needs to be released as it will become too much of a liability for you moving forward. Anyone in your life that refuses to grow and evolve has their own lessons to learn. You don't have to sit in hell with them just because they don't want to grow. Do you want to grow? Do you want to evolve into a higher timeline? If so, then that's exactly what you need to do. Okay, one more. We are in a very karmic...
Like, is this a Substack post? Like, how is this so long on Instagram?
It's 10 slides and they all have a lot of text on them. This is the last one. We are in very karmic ties right now. At every moment, you are either clearing karma or creating karma. The choices you make now will set up the rest of your life. We are in a profound moment in history where you will look back at this time and say, if I hadn't made that decision, my life would be completely different. Old timelines are collapsing and we are creating infinite possibilities for ourselves. You are being guided. Listen to your intuition and have the courage to make the moves your soul wants you to make. Trust yourself.
I just had a realization while hearing that. Which is that I feel like sometimes we, with our conditioning and our beliefs, we would interpret, okay, let's say that this message is like channeled, right? Because it kind of gives that vibe of like when you watch videos of that guy who channels Bosher, or you like
yes.
Read the Law of One, They tend to speak Bashar. Yeah. What did I just say? Bashar? Bashar. Bashar. Whatever.
Cute little nickname.
Sorry. Sorry, Bashar? Fuck, I'm still Bashar. Bashar. Anyways. That they kind of speak in a very, sometimes just like matter of fact, no fluff way. And I think sometimes we project like fear or urgency onto it in a bad, meaning that it's, yeah, that it's fearful and that like, oh, you should be concerned, when I think like a higher entity just has transcended those limitations. And so it speaks plainly and clearly. And this even like speaks to why there's so much societal conditioning around, like your partner could be telling you something totally out of love, but you project your insecurities and your fear onto it. And then you're like, you can't hear the message. And this is kind of helping me realize that sometimes these messages feel urgent because they're actually just giving it to you straight. And we are so used to sugarcoating things because of fear, right? Like you would sugarcoat out of fear. You would, you know, add fluff and unnecessary details out of fear of how it's going to be received, or that they're not going to understand your plain, straightforward language. So,
ooh, interesting. Yeah.
That's kind of interesting to think about. Like sometimes these channeled messages, they come out. So in our world, we would qualify them as like a little brutally honest or urgent or like intense, but it's just that it's delivering it straight to you. And we are projecting onto it our feelings about the message.
That's so interesting, because now when I think about Bashar, some of his channel messages, people will stand up in a crowd in person and ask questions, and he'll say stuff that's like, holy crap, you just said that to someone? Like, they'll be like, I'm sad about this. And he's like, get over it. You're choosing that. You're choosing to be sad.
Right. Yeah.
And whereas I'm like, girl, feel your emotions.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? It's like, I feel like now I'm starting to put this together, that a lot of these, like Abraham Hicks, Bashar, Law of One, like just, and then people generally who, you know, even the two of us, when we've like channeled something and it comes out in language that we don't necessarily claim as our own, that it comes out with that no fluff urgency in a way, because you could say that higher wisdom has transcended that. So there's just like no need for it.
Right. And maybe we consciously add a little bit of fluff and love when we're writing, because we know that in order for it to be received to the people we want it to be received by, we have to add that tonality to it.
Yeah, that's like conscious expression, is you're like, you know that, you know who your audience is and you want it to land. So even though you could deliver it in just this specific way, like there's a pro and con to, I mean, this is like one of your gifts, which is that you do so well, of like knowing how to cater a message. And then on the flip side, there's also the gift of like shock and just like say it as it is and like let the chips fall where they may. But it's interesting now just seeing also how that's both are very needed in our human realm to deliver these like very important, timely, you know, wise messages.
Right. Because every single message has an energy to it. Yeah. Some of the energies that are needed are like the bluntness and the just facts, because it wakes you up in a way.
Yeah.
Like it literally shakes you and you're like, holy shit, like I needed that little wake up. I was a little bit asleep, or I was stuck in the illusion. Whereas some of the messages out there, I would say the messages that I share are more catered to resonate on an energetic level of compassion and understanding, to give people an opportunity to see themselves in a new perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many different other ways that you could add a certain tone or energy into a message, and every single one is so divine in the outcome it gives to whatever specific person is reading it or taking it in. So it's interesting to look at this post, and my initial reaction was like, same thing. I kind of felt like that urgency and a little bit of like, ooh, like, okay, like leave them behind in the other timeline. I'm like, is that really compassion and love and seeing us as one?
You're like, are they going to be okay?
Yeah. I mean, like, talk about oneness like that. The oneness in me is like, what the fuck? Like, but when you think about what we spoke about on our book club call, sometimes the highest form of love is being able to accept someone's journey of learning certain lessons and letting them go down the path that they're meant to go down. Right. And we think in our 3D world, in our human bodies, that we love someone, we need to help them, we need to save them. But really, you're fucking elongating the journey that they're on and they're just going to resist it. So you right. have to think in like more non-dualistic ways of giving love will come down to you allowing someone to progress along their journey, even if that involves them going through chapters of pain that wake them up and allow them to have realizations.
Yeah. And that like sometimes that desire to like help or save someone is actually coming out of fear because yes. you like want to control or like you're not sure that they can handle it on their own. So it's like, it's almost, I feel like
And then that brings you down.
Yes. Right. Yeah. It's like, that's kind of the behavior of when people resort to being so nice that they're actually being super inauthentic to themselves and like people mm-hmm. pleasing and whatever, because it's actually out of fear. So like you think it's like, oh, I'm being loving and being kind, but no, you're being a caricature of that. That's actually right. disingenuous to how you really feel and what would be of for your highest good and this person's highest good out of fear. That's been the mind-blowing part about A Course in Miracles and our book club. Was that last night or Monday night? Monday. But yeah, of just breaking down the nuance and like the detailed ways of choosing love over fear. And I feel like that really makes a massive ripple effect. I feel like in the end, that's what this post is talking about, is like making those conscious choices of love or fear, like contract or expand and trust and surrender and align with, you know, the universe.
You know how I always reference Giggly Squad?
Yeah.
Paige DeSorbo, she is from Summer House on Bravo, and she's one of those people that really inspires me, I think, because I feel like I'm a soul that's on a journey of learning how to release the people pleasing and really learning how to speak my voice even when it's uncomfortable and I would be deemed as like mean or whatever or not liked by someone that's hearing it. And she inspires me because she is so the opposite. She just says whatever the fuck she wants to say and she has no shame feeling it. And she has always been the person on Summer House that will just fucking say what everyone's thinking. And she says it so confidently. And I've just like kind of been watching Summer House with like more of an analytical eye when I witness all the different types of energies and the girls that are on the show. And you can see how like she really owns what she likes. She like attracts guys that really respect her. And the other girls are like struggling with like finding a guy and like going through the phases of like being cheated on and all those things. And she is very much about being in that like empowering role of doing things on her own. She's like successful in her career. And she talks about how she like never needs a man to do something for her. And she says it in like a loving, joking way because she obviously has a partner that she loves and adores. But something about her that I've always respected is like she fucking speaks her mind and she doesn't have the people pleasing trait. And it's very clear to me that she grew up in a household where she has a very healthy relationship with her mom and dad. They're like very, very loving people, like Italian family that grew up in upstate New York and just like classic good vibes in a family, like very good relationship she has with her mother, and you could tell like they fucking did a good job with parenting her. Yeah. And I just get really inspired because people pleasing is such a it's such a source of suffering, and I don't think we realize how much suffering it gives us until we actually bring awareness to the fact that we are people pleasing.
Yeah.
And you'll realize in those tiny moments, even like I was saying on the book club call, how I went to Pilates and I was just, it's fucking like 5:45 a.m. I just want to lay down and stretch and not talk to anyone. And then all of a sudden all these people are walking in, getting on their reformer, and I feel like I have to turn to the girl next to me and be like, good morning, like how are you, da, da, da. Like yeah. I like your shirt or whatever the fuck my mind is telling me that I had to say. And in that moment I had the conscious choice of being like, no, you don't need to do that because yeah. you don't want to. Like just yeah. lay down and relax and stretch. And I know it's such a small, stupid example, but like, it's those tiny things that restrict yourself from being authentic, and you present yourself in a way that's not actually real, and it causes a lot of constriction in the body. And then you attract things in your life that are just like out of alignment.
Yeah.
So
it's such an energetic leak.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's inspiring. I think that's another thing that earlier when we were talking about like my, the whole like drinking desire, wanting to let loose, is that's another element of it, of that. Yeah. Just the up, the next level of saying what's on your mind and what you think and what you feel, and not trying to, yeah, just not opting for the fear response, which is to like not say it because you don't know how it will be received, that someone's going to dislike it, etc. So I listened to like 15 minutes of a Giggly Squad episode the other week because you were like telling me about them, because they were kind of inspiring us for some of our podcast stuff. And having those expanders is always so helpful too, because sometimes you don't know what it looks or feels like to step into that, and you kind of need an example so that you're like, oh, like, okay, there is like this, you know. It just gives you a, yeah, just an example of how you could step into it yourself.
Yeah. I also was thinking, I was watching like a rerun episode of an old season where she went on like her first, I think it was Access Hollywood, where she was doing her first like fashion, live fashion review or something. And in that moment, watching that scene, I got that emotional response of feeling so, you know, that feeling I always talk about where I'm like, I get that physical response when I see people in their fucking zone and in alignment with their soul's path.
Yeah.
And after, she was like, wow, I felt like so aligned. Like that was like where I was supposed to be. Like it felt like home. And I was like, wow, like I felt that for her before she even said it. And I'm wondering if this has something something to do with my life theme or my gifts or my purpose, because there is something inside me that turns on in a very uncontrollable way when I see someone in their element and in their power. And it activates something within me where I get this emotional response. And I'm like, why does this happen to me? Like, is it just because it's inspiring me for my own journey, or am I meant to be like doing something with this?
Right. Or you're like amplifying that energy in someone else.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely do feel like a part of my path is reminding people of their power.
Yeah, totally.
And channeling messages that wake them up to that. So it connects in some way. But
for sure.
Yeah, I'm still very much on the journey of like honing in on my specific mission, but dots are connecting.
What's like the little phrase of your life theme? Do you know off the top of your head?
Yeah, to, I'm forgetting the word. It's something like to ace your life and then teach people how to.
Yes. Yeah.
What is it? Do you know?
Yeah, it's like, I forget what the first part is, but it's something about like, yeah, to create an experience, like a good life, and then model that to your community. Something like that.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that's like such, I mean, it's going to just involve experimentation basically to get to a point of what you actually feel in every season is a good, fulfilling, you know, like you're just testing things out to see what is going to work. And then that's why people want to hear it from you. Like with 3-5s, it's a thing that people would be really interested in your life and like hearing how things are going and like getting the updates and kind of getting like a peek into the process, because then at least for you, when it ties into your theme, people want to see like almost like an example of what a quote unquote model like life is.
Mm. Yeah, that's what it is, to model to something with your life and then model it to your wider community.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, okay, that aligns.
Yeah. Well, what's really cool about the themes is like because they literally have to do with every part of your life, that it just can play out in like a lot of different ways and mean something different for everyone.
Right. Like it doesn't have to be a career. It could be like the way that you interact with your children.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, exactly. So interesting. That was really fun. That was a great combo. I really am enjoying this more cash.
I know, I am too. Chit-chat. Guys, let us know how you're feeling about us just kind of freeballing it, because it's definitely fun to be more intuitive, and we're still going to have the episodes where we dive into something in a like a researching type of vibe and yeah. and bring data and stats. I actually would be interested in doing like a feminine masculine energy episode.
Yeah.
And yeah, let us know if you guys have anything that you want us to do a deep dive on, and we'll do that as well.
Yeah. So thank you for listening. Thanks for tuning in. We love you guys so much. And don't forget, we just a couple weeks ago launched our membership, the Omi's Oasis. It is so fun and just such a sacred space. People are so kind and supportive. And people are talking about, like, I think someone was talking about how they're trying to quit nicotine, and another person's like figuring out their vape journey. And it's just like all these little things that people are talking about, that because it's a spiritually conscious community, people are bringing their, you know, personal experiences, and it's all through the lens of like support and understanding and curiosity. And I have found it really inspiring. I'm excited to share more about like my hypnotherapy journey in there too, as it kind of like goes along. And then, I mean, I'll probably do an episode on that, but at least more of those like day to day updates. Yeah. So yeah, check out the Oasis if you haven't. It is such a sacred space for awakened souls to support and see each other and be held. And we hang out every single month in a workshop that's hosted by a healer, an artist, creator, coaches, etc. And yeah, and if you enjoyed listening to the episode, don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you're listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye guys.
Bye.